cooling her heels from Laramie Peak, Casey Atkinson with Advocacy. Hi, Casey. How you doing?
I'm good, Andy. How are you?
Oh, I think we'll be okay. We get through the thunderstorm season all right. We'll be into fair before you know it.
Oh, don't say that.
Today, we're talking about sustainability. Now, that's a big word, and it means a lot of different things to different people. So, from what direction are you approaching that this morning?
Well, you are absolutely right. I think sustainability is a word that's hard to grasp. You know, if you talk to a multi-generational farmer or rancher who's, you know, fifth or sixth generation on their ranch, they definitely think they're sustainable because their family's been in business for a long time. And if you talk to consumers, it means something different. And I think it becomes sort of a fancy word that no one really knows what to do with. So okay. The industry, the agriculture industry has sort of defined it this way. And that's balancing environmental responsibility, social diligence, an economic opportunity while meeting the global demand for food.
Oh,
and so kind of takes into consideration what's important to, you know, the ranchers and farmers trying to stay in business, but also the consumers who want to make sure that we're doing some of the things they want to see us do as well.
All right. In other words, what farmers and ranchers have been doing for centuries.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, we could talk about sustainability in the agriculture industry all day long. So I'm going to narrow it down a little bit to beef, which is going to surprise no one who's been listening to me, for a few different reasons. One, it's the most prevalent livestock raised in Logan County. Two, obviously, you know, as someone who raises cattle themselves, it's pretty near and dear to my heart. But I think when we talk about sustainability, beef often becomes a target. Especially in the livestock industry, in terms of people thinking it's not a sustainable industry. Because the reality is, beef production involves more complex biological processes than any other food system that we have. And so I think that makes it an easy target. And so today I'm going to focus in on how the beef industry is working to become more sustainable, and more importantly, to prove that we already are sustainable.
Okay.
So a couple different things that I want consumers to know about. So when we're talking about sustainability in the beef industry, I think the big thing becomes not so much are we sustainable, but how do we communicate and prove to consumers that we are? Because we're doing a lot of things right, I think. And so a bunch of producers and producer groups and some allied industry folks and then some non-governmental organizations like the World Wildlife Fund and the Nature Conservancy, along with retail people like McDonald's, all came together last year in 2015 and decided they would start something called the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef.
Okay.
And they're on a mission to advance, support, and communicate continuous improvement and sustainability through leadership, innovation, multi-stakeholder engagement, and collaboration. And essentially what their goal is, they've divided into three different groups. So everyone in this roundtable is working on one of three things. The first group is working on indicators and goals, which is essentially how do we measure sustainability? And they're really focused in on animal health and well-being, efficiency and yield, water and land resources, air and greenhouse gas emissions, and worker safety and well-being. So they're the group trying to figure out, how are we going to quantify this? How are we actually going to measure whether or not what we do is sustainable? The second group is working on verification, which is super important for consumers because how do we prove it? Once we come up with these results, how do we prove that they're credible, that we didn't just make them up or that they're not biased in somehow? So we've got a group working on verification. And then the last group is working on what they call sustainable solutions, which essentially is new research possibilities, you know, new ideas and things that we might be able to implement as an industry that would make us more sustainable.
Okay.
So we have this active group who is really dedicated and really focused on this idea of sustainability and how we're going to get there. But another thing the beef industry has actually already done, called a beef life cycle analysis. And essentially, a life cycle analysis needs to be done by somebody way smarter than me. Because it's an accounting system that uses complex models to quantify all inputs and outputs involved in producing beef from birth to the consumer's plate. So they literally looked at everything along the entire chain. from pre-chain production of fertilizer, packaging and chemicals and other things, to the primary inputs like feed and water, all the way to consumption and disposal of packaging materials by the consumer. And they were so in-depth that they went into packing plants and they counted the number of toilet paper rolls that were used by the employees. Because if they used enough toilet paper, then they figured that had to be included as an impact in producing beef.
Okay.
So it's very detailed what they've done. And so
a little too detailed.
I didn't have to do it. That's all I know.
Yeah, no kidding.
A little too detailed.
A little, but they wanted to be exact, and I appreciate that. So they used the 1970s as kind of their starting point because that's when boxed beef became a thing.
Okay.
And then the first round was done in 2005, and then they did a second benchmark in 2011. And then because they really wanted consumers to be able to believe this information, they sent it out to extensive third-party review and had it certified by a group called NSF International, which is a verification and auditing group which has nothing to do with agriculture. All they do is look and say, did you collect it right? Did you compile the results right? Did you interpret it correctly? If the answer is yes, then you get the stamp of approval. And they got that in July of 2013. And while the 70s to the 2000s was impressive, what I want to focus in on is the improvements we made from 2005 to 2011, which is 6 years, right?
Okay.
So in 6 years, the beef industry reduced their emissions to water by 10%. They reduced their emissions to soil by 7%. They reduced their greenhouse gas emissions by 2%. They reduced their occupational illnesses and injuries by 32%. They reduced resource consumption by 2%. And they reduced their landfill contributions by 7%. And so when you take all of that in and you look at the environmental and social impacts, we improved as an industry by 7%. And we improved our economic sustainability by 5%. And, you know, someone may say, well, that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but we're talking about 6 years, and we're talking about an industry that did it voluntarily, you know, just because we wanted to get better. It wasn't driven by regulations. It wasn't driven by directives. It was just simply because we're always looking to do our job better. And I think that, you know, that's something for us to definitely be proud of.
Well, the beef industry has had something to be proud of since its inception. And of course, that's a wonderful product as far as I'm concerned. I had steak for breakfast this morning, Casey.
Oh,
so you're kind of preaching to the choir a little bit, you know. But the fact of the matter is you've got to have those. Well, first of all, you have to comply with all scientific method for it to be taken seriously, correct?
Absolutely.
And to be taken seriously by anybody, because now you can't dispute those numbers.
You can't, and that, you know, that's really important, is because, you know, we want our numbers to mean something. We want them to be credible when we use them, because we have to, you know, we have to have that credibility. So.
Well, absolutely, and consider how much of the world the United States feeds.
Well, it's a significant amount, and, you know, the reality is we have to get even better. By 2050, they're predicting 9 billion people on the planet.
Wow.
And the experts are saying that we're going to have to produce 70% more food with no more resources than we have today. And the reality is we're probably going to have fewer resources than we have today. In this country, I think it's like every hour an acre of land is lost to development.
Ooh.
You know, and so that's less land. There's, you know, water is always an issue. And so we have to get better at what we do. And I think, you know, in the agriculture industry, we're doing that. But there's actually an important role that consumers can play in helping us improve sustainability. And that is in reducing the amount of food that is wasted. And this is a really heartbreaking statistic to me. It makes me a little sick to my stomach. But in the United States, 40%, 40% of all of the food that we produce is wasted.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that insane?
It is. It is.
It makes you a little bit heartsick when you think about, you know, how many people that amount of food could feed. And if we're looking at beef, and we look at beef waste, you know, it includes obviously things like trimmings, the external fat, the bone in your T-bone, and those kinds of things. But 20% of beef waste is consumable product, things that we could be eating. And that's a significant loss.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And so if we could simply reduce the amount of beef waste by one half, we would automatically improve beef sustainability by 10%. And that's something we need consumers to help us in.
That's
nothing we're going to gain through efficiencies or improvements in how we manage our resources. That's something that we need consumers to play a role in helping us achieve.
That's an interesting point to make. The industry, you have to include the end consumer into that. Into all of those statistics, because if we're making more food than anybody else in the whole world and wasting 40% of it, that's sinful.
It is. Yeah, there's a lot of people who could not be going hungry.
Right.
So.
Wow, so my mom was right. Think of all the starving children everywhere else in the world. Now finish your potatoes.
Right, well, even just the starving people here in America anymore.
Good. Good point. Casey Atkinson joins me this morning for advocacy, and we're talking about all the stats. Now, Casey, is there a place people can go to check on these in case, I don't know, maybe somebody wants to argue against beef production? Where can we check these numbers?
You know, a great place to go is a website called Facts About Beef.
All right.
And it has, you know, it'll have links to a lot of the stuff that I do, but they will have a link to the beef life cycle analysis, or you can just Google the beef life cycle analysis, and it'll take you to some different links. It was funded by the Beef Checkoff, you know, obviously the beef industry provided the funding for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go in, and there's a report. It's pretty easy to read. It's, I don't know, 20 pages or so, but it'll walk you through, you know, how they collected the data, the information that they found, and it's also got the information in there about how it was certified by NSF International.
Excellent information. Casey, you always bring very interesting and actually uplifting news to the KPMX Morning Circus. I'm glad you did.
Well, thank you. I enjoy the opportunity to hopefully share a little positivity about agriculture.
Well, it's kind of an easy audience for that, since everything we do is surrounded by agriculture, but it's very important that we know that information as well. Casey Atkinson joins us from Laramie Peak, Wyoming. Casey, thanks so much for the call.
Hey, no problem.
Hang on line for just a second. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the KPMX Morning Circus. Chris Bullbrom's got your afternoon escape starting at 2. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on KPMX.